Howdy everyone, it's 1 minute past, so I'll go ahead and get started. For a couple of announcements, the housekeeping, there is the Folio Serial subgroup meeting this Friday. Our next meeting for this group will be Friday, December 19th, and I wanted to touch base with everybody about canceling the Tuesday, December 23rd and Friday, January 3rd meetings. Would there be any objections to that? See one thumbs up. So I'll just take a silence as the consensus. I see two. Thanks. Oh, there's a few more. So we'll take this as a consensus that it is okay to cancel the Friday, December 9th. Oh, the two meetings for December 23rd and January 3rd. That'll make our next meeting again is Friday, December 19th. And then after that, the next meeting will be Tuesday, January 6th. And I'll work with Suzanne on what that will look like for us as we transfer to her leadership for the group. And then it's just business. So Dennis, are you good to go first to discuss the synchronizing item and piece fields?
Yes, I can do that. just kind of scrambling to get the Jira back up here. One second.
And then when Dennis is done with his topic, as time allows, it'll be Joe to discuss the future invoicing and bulk edit items.
Sorry, I'm pretty sure I sent this over here. There we go. Okay. So we've been talking recently, refining story with the development team about an issue with barcodes being overwritten. And as part of this discussion, we were reviewing the work that has been done so far for synchronizing like information between inventory records and orders. And primarily that's been related to like the ability to move records around in inventory. So you can change the relationships between holdings and instances or items and holdings with the drag and drop functionality in inventory. Like you move a holding from one instance to another. And for a long time that caused a lot of problems in the orders application because the orders were basically storing information about the instance hierarchy. Like they would store a reference to the instance record, the holdings record, the item record. And when those things didn't match up with what was in inventory anymore, it caused certain problems. Sometimes would move, like receiving a piece would move an item back to a previous instance and other things. In any event, we implemented event messaging to manage the reference relationships. So when you move a holding or an item record from one instance or holding to another in inventory, you don't actually have to edit the order manually after to fix it. Orders is listening for those events and updating its own references. And we talked about that feature a long time ago. Well, it seems like a long time ago now. It might have been the beginning of this year, something along those lines. So this story now is really specifically about some of the data points in the item record and keeping them synchronized with the data points that we have in the piece. And we just wanted to have some discussion around three specific fields. So call number, sorry, barcode and accession number. Firstly, I'm looking at this comment, but I'm not. And these have become a little bit problematic because they're actually stored in orders. Like the barcode is now stored in the order application as piece data because we do a bunch of things with that in the order in the receiving application, like allow you to filter pieces based on barcode, allow you to see the barcode in the view, in the title view, and a bunch of other things. So we kind of need the barcode there. But as far as we know, there is no reason for that barcode to be different, right, from an item record barcode. And I believe the same is true for accession number and call number. This is item data, and there's really no reason to have that in a piece unless there is an item. And if there is an item, that should effectively be the source of truth for the thing. So if it's our desire is to allow you to make edits to those fields from the receiving app, it should never be possible for those things to be out of sync. So whenever you load a piece, you should see the current barcode from the item record. And if you want to make an edit to it, you should be able to change it and save the piece. And have that item record be updated. And by the same token, if you, after that, at any point, go and edit the item record and you change the barcode there, it should immediately update the piece information with that, new barcode or call number or accession number. Are there any use cases for this behaving in a different way? I think one of the big questions that we had initially in this story, there was reference to the status of these two things. So if the piece was expected, then perhaps most of the activities happening there. And you would sort of favor the information that was in the piece. But once the piece had been received, ultimately, like the item record at that point really does become the most relevant representation of the thing. And any changes made there would be more important, like, or considered the source of truth. I guess the question is, does it simplify things to just say that these data points will be identical in both records at all times? Sarah.
So I think my initial answer is yes, as long as it's clear which fields we're talking about. Like, so if we're like, and I don't mean like talking about now, but that it is clear to everyone always which fields are totally in sync and which ones can be different. And I think that's key. But otherwise, I would say that yes, the barcode is definitely identical in both. You can't have a barcode in one in the piece that is different than the item.
Yeah, like a piece doesn't have a barcode was kind of my thinking is like the
No, it
piece,
doesn't have a barcode,
you know,
but it
it
was
doesn't
part of
represent.
the receiving process that you could
Right.
add the barcode there, right?
Right.
So in that way, it is represented there and it was enterable there. You could input it there and therefore make, and at that moment, the until you also checked off create item, right? That item didn't exist. So in effect, the piece was the starting point if you if that was your work process.
Yeah. Show what I'm talking about here. So these are the fields, yeah. These are the fields we're talking about. I'll just do this. Show this.
Suzanne Gill says in chat that if I'm not mistaken, some libraries put barcodes on the pieces. She's always struggling with item and piece.
More. Item in peace, yeah. So I may have other problems here, it looks like. Good old testing
Use all the
environment.
same things. All
Let's
right.
see if we can make fix this. No, probably not. Okay. Have a piece. Oh, wait, I can do that. Interesting.
You missed the sequence.
Has to have a sequence. Remember? Okay. One. Okay. Between 1 and 0. That looks like somewhere between 1 and 0,
It looks like a migration script error.
but yeah, or maybe these were created through serials or something, or none of them have a sequence. Okay. Is there anything I can show here? This should work. Browser figures. I just wanted to show. Okay, so this barcode was added, right? At this point in time, anytime you edit the piece, if you edit any of those three fields in the piece record, get rid of that. Any of these three fields in the piece record, when you save and close, the system will take that data and update the item. The challenge at the moment is that if I were to change this here and save it, it's not going to go back the other way. So according to the piece right now, this is still the barcode. So if I make another change here, I'm just overwriting what was done in the item record. I mean, may or may not realize that. So that was the problem that prompted all of this. And we talked years ago about fixing this problem and just hadn't gotten to that point. So a lot of things have changed. We've actually added more item record fields since this problem arose. Like we now have accession number, which I don't think we had before. There's more data here, and I guess just wanting to make sure that there are no use cases for these being separate. I don't think there really are. I think the goal in this scenario is to make sure that any changes, whether you're doing it from this side or the other side, that these are item fields that are one and the same thing. There's no separate information for a piece. So they should always be identical. The question of whether you should be able to edit them from here all the time is maybe a separate question.
Kristen has her hand raised.
Yeah, let's have
Yeah,
Kristen.
I don't argue with the general premise of this. I'm just trying to understand, like, what are, say, the use cases for having a you'd have because I'm thinking you have a piece that's associated with an item. You give that an item a barcode, and then later on you update the barcode. Right, and you're saying then it doesn't appear back in the piece. Why do people go back to the piece at that point in time? Is this sort of related to like a serials receiving or like what would be the reason for going back to the piece? Because I guess I'm
Yes,
thinking.
it's definitely, Kristen, it's definitely all about serials.
Okay.
Like you are in receiving all the time, looking at all your items and trying to figure out, which one you didn't get and why. Like for one-time orders with a single thing, this is really like, yeah, like
Yeah.
why bother? But it is actually really, really relevant when you're working with serials and periodicals.
So with this for periodicals, when you get a piece before it's bound, do each one of those get barcodes and then they get bound together and they get a single barcode for the bound volume?
We barely bind anything, so that doesn't even really apply. But what we do, for example, is we don't even apply real, like physical barcodes to the periodicals until somebody actually wants to check it out. But we give it a dummy barcode until then, so that in inventory, we never have no barcode. Right? Like that is what we're avoiding. So we give it a placeholder barcode. But then if somebody brings that issue to the front desk and says, hey, I want to actually take this home, then we slap a barcode on, right? We don't want to pay for those physical barcodes. And so at that point, though, we apply one, we go into inventory, we put it in, and we would like, I personally would like that information also to show up in receiving. And previously it did, but it now no longer does. And if I were to give it a placeholder barcode in receiving now, for example, so that there was information there, and then in inventory, that person came to the front desk, said, I want to borrow it. And the cert person puts the barcode on, goes to the item in inventory, puts the barcode on, and that information doesn't go back to receiving. But now I'm back in receiving because I'm the person receiving the next issue and I'm doing something and I happen to see a typo on that piece and I go in and I update that piece. That fake barcode, that placeholder barcode, would then overwrite the real barcode that had then in the interim been applied to the thing in inventory. And that's where this whole thing came about.
Yeah, I get that. Thanks.
And it was like you deem like when this first showed itself as a problem, you did not even have to edit one of those fields. I could just add some, I could just correct a typo in the comment field of the piece, and the placeholder barcode would override the in the interim true barcode.
Yeah, it was registering that because it's different from what the item was at the time, even if it was empty. It would just overwrite it because it
Right.
thought it was a change, right?
That was the issue we were having
That
with
type of thing.
item numbers too, or copy numbers.
But the way it seems to me like the way to really eliminate this problem is to make sure they are always synchronized.
But again, Dennis, I guess what I was also meaning what I said before is that it has to be really clear that it's what is totally synchronized is whatever we agree on. I'm not saying it has to just be these, but I'm just saying that it's really obvious. So if you say we're going to synchronize those three fields that are in that item details section, and it's understood by everybody that those three things are totally synchronized, great. But that, for example, up above the piece details section area does not have to be synchronized. Or, we have to make that clear. It has to be obvious.
I think that that's a really interesting question because enumeration and chronology are also item record fields. And I think that was part of the reason why I wanted to have some conversation about this because these ones do seem pretty straightforward to me. Part of the reason why we put them in the item details accordion is that they are very specifically item details. They are not piece details. Like if you don't have a connected item, you don't capture these details. So, and I completely appreciate that we should indicate that these are I don't know if synchronized is the best way to describe this to your average person who's just using Folio, but that they are item fields. Whatever information you see there, you're going to see here. If you make a change here, you're actually just changing the item field. This is not a piece field of any kind, right? It doesn't exist here as far as the user is concerned. You're editing an item detail. It's item record stuff. But enumeration and chronology also appear on the item record. So does display summary now, and copy number. And that is maybe a little confusing. Because sort of I think conceptually. Well, and this is maybe a question. I think conceptually these are also item information. Like, but they really are important to the piece as well. I don't know if there's any reason why they should be different, though. Like, why you would have a display summary for the piece that is not exactly the same as the connected item record. And we talk about binding really briefly there. I think Joe probably can explain this a lot better than me and correct me if I'm making a mistake here. But at this point in time, when we bind things in Folio, we create a new item record. And we're not piling all of the enumeration and chronology information into that new item record. It is sort of independent in that way. I can't exactly remember what happens. Like, if you had item records connected to these pieces and then you bind them together, I can't exactly remember what happens to those connected item records, whether they're actually removed or the status has changed. I thought maybe the status was changed.
They're suppressed and disconnected, but there's still a link. They're still traceable, but they are effectively decoupled.
Right. So things definitely get more complicated there, but yeah, Sarah, go ahead.
So, yes, and I think this is when actually the whole kind of problem or a big change happened that then changed how things had been previously is when this bindery functionality became possible, because you can actually, those items that you bound can be, they're kind of like Lazarus. You can bring them back from the dead, so to speak, right? And you can
Interesting.
then undo them and they'll reappear. And so they kind of exist in the shadow world. They're kind of in limbo, and you can bring them back. But going back to your other question, like, is there any reason? So we, for example, and again, this has historical reasons, right? So when this display summary field is relatively new, and we, because we had millions of items that did not have display summary, or let's say hundreds of thousands, I won't go millions, but hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, that didn't have display summary because they got migrated, or we created them before display summary existed, and we had been putting everything in what you would normally now put in display summary, we had been putting in the volume field in the item. And so now I have said I'm not changing that process. If I already have 100 items, 100 pieces, and all these items with it in this other field, then that in the in inventory in the item, that is where the information is going, and it's not going in the display summary field of the item. But in the piece, we need it somewhere. And so we do use the display summary. And that's how we, A, it's the second thing in receiving that you see, right? When you're doing the browse view, not this view. And so it's right there where you can see everything nicely and sort and so forth. And plus, it does, when you do the receiving process, it moves that information from here, from receiving to the item into inventory. And our process is to have that happen, then go to item, cut it from the display summary field in the item, and paste it into the volume, save, and move on. So that all that data on all the items, whether they were migrated or received in Folio, is in the same field in the item, and we have consistency. But in receiving, it's all in this display summary field. So we do have the piece and the item out of sync in that way, so to speak, right?
I see.
Does that make sense? And we wouldn't want that to change. We wouldn't want now, if we delete the information in the item from the display summary, to suddenly disappear from the piece, because in the piece, we need that information there. Because that's the only place it can be.
You have adopted this new field. Well, I was going to say you've adopted it in a specific way. You're using it in a specific way that was influenced by the reality that it didn't exist when you first started using Folio. It certainly highlights that it would be problematic to synchronize those fields. It may not be overall, it may not be a benefit at this point. Which makes sense. So perhaps for now, we should focus on the fields we talked about earlier, accession number, barcode, call number. And maintain this distinction between piece details and item details, in that item details will be fully synchronized with the item record, where piece details will not. I guess I'll leave it there. If anyone has other use cases that they'd like to share, whether they relate to enumeration or chronology, thoughts on synchronizing enumeration and chronology, or call number, barcode, accession number, feel free to share those, in Slack, or to add them to this story. I'll just pop the link into the chat as well, so everyone has it there, in case you want to make any additional comments. So, what was the next item on the agenda? I think I'm handing things over to Joe.
That is correct. You're handing it over to Joe. Yes.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Joe, are you ready?
Yep. Let me get my screen pulled up. I can basically use up the rest of the time and then some, because I got a number of things I want to talk about with everyone. But we'll start with, I guess, the most important stuff that I need to deal with in the shorter term, which has to do with bulk editing orders and order lines. We are looking at these for Umbrella Leaf. And yeah, these are the first couple of things we're going to do is bulk editing orders and bulk editing order lines. Excuse me. Before I get into that, though, one quick announcement. Watch the Slack channel. Next week, I will be conducting a UAT for the sequence number that we messed with a little bit earlier, but we are doing a UAT. That will be next week. Watch the Slack channel for details. I'll have something up the next day or two. Okay, with that said, we are looking to add bulk editing orders to bulk editing orders and order lines to the bulk edit app in the Umbrella Leaf release. We're pretty clear, I think, on how that's going to work. It will probably go in multiple phases, but the first pass for the order lines, we're going to allow the editing of vendor, the re-encumber status, notes, the order status, which means that with the order status, you will be able to open, unopen, and close, and then subscription and subscription renewal date. By and large, most of this is straightforward and the patterns exist. One question I have for all of you is, given that canceling an order is simply a flavor of closing an order, do we need a separate order status of cancel if we can do order status of close and the reason for closure is cancel?
I think only that is available actually in acquisitions. If you it's it becomes closed with order with reason canceled. And you
When I
can add
tested
a
it,
note.
yeah, when I tested it, both were available. Let me look again.
Okay.
And I think we just added canceled as a shortcut, but the devs confirmed that. I go to open. So these are open orders, and yeah, I have both close and cancel.
Yes, but do it. And now
Yes.
do it's the same thing.
Right. Reason canceled and then add notes.
Right. And so the status, your workflow status becomes closed and your reason for is canceled. So it
Right.
actually, I think that is an old and outdated thing too, that they're separate like that, because if you go to closed, you can choose canceled. And it will do exactly the same thing. And that
Right.
was, but you didn't, it used to be a little bit different. Anyways, but the note part is the really important part.
Right. Okay. So, excuse me. So basically, the short answer is that for purposes of this, it's fine just to leave it as closed and not worry about cancel, because you can always close as canceled. Okay, that was my one question. The other one, which could probably take a fair amount of time, is within the Bulk Edit app, when displaying columns, because columns are selectable in Bulk Edit. And just let me, in case you're not familiar with Bulk Edit, this is what already exists. So you can do upload a list of a certain identifier. You can choose the identifier. So if you choose inventory items, then you have barcodes, UUIDs, HRIDs, and so forth. So with orders, we'll use things, we'll always use UUIDs, but we'll also use PO numbers. And the POLs, I was also going to add vendor order numbers, but we are going to keep it unique. Query uses the same logic as the Lists app to build a query. So we can do all of that. But all of these are well defined. So I'm going to, if I do item, actually, let me get out here and go users, user barcode is empty. And if I do false, so I'm going to go ahead and run this query just so that you can see what it looks like. But as we see with all of these, we do see a list of columns. And one of the things I wanted to discuss with you is the order in which columns appear and which columns should be displayed by default. I have kind of an idea of how I think it ought to work, but I do need some validation on it. Let me pop this up real quick here. Okay. So the preview, this has to be defined. So username, barcode, active patron group, last name, first name. And if I go into the actions menu, I have all of these other columns that are available and the order in which they're available. So when I look at the columns, they show up in that order. So what I'm thinking is for POs, PO number is the first that appears and it's by default. UUID appears and it's by default. Vendor name appears and it's by default. Then optionally, you have the vendor UUID. Then you have the order type by default. Then acquisition name and UUID, approval date, the manual checkbox, the re-encumber checkbox, which displays by default, whether it's approved, the workflow status, again, default, and then custom fields. And I put it in this order because this mirrors the It largely mirrors the order that it appears in the purchase order. Sarah, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, so I actually use Bulkedit quite regularly. I was just using it this morning for items. And the I don't use it for users, but I use it for inventory stuff. So the UUIs by default, I think, are unnecessary. No, but none of us are thinking PO UUIDs or vendor UUIDs, and they're super long and they take up a lot of space. And so then you're just having to scroll over all the time to see your data. And so while the human readable stuff is really important, the UUIDs are less important unless that is the only value that can be surfaced. And I hope that's not the case. So vendor UUID, I would get rid of that as default, or you did already, sorry. Yeah. And if we can just go back to the cancel thing, because this is actually, I've also been having to do a lot of canceling lately of my ongoing orders. And so because we have budget cuts. And so while you have to close and then choose your reason for closure at the PO level. If I choose canceled, then at the POL level, it will also change my ongoing to canceled. Is that then the case?
I believe that anything gets triggered at the closure of a PO would cascade down to the PO line, but that would have to be tested. But the idea is that if you ex it should cascade the way it would if you normally close the PO.
So, but if you're saying that you're not going to offer canceled separate from closed, then is there a difference?
So my developers say there is no functional difference between closing is canceled and canceling.
I'll have to try it out with how it cascades then, if there's a difference.
Yeah, the cancel that you're talking about, I think, Sarah, is like the action in the actions menu, cancel, right?
Well, there's you can either choose closed close in actions or in or cancel. And they used to be different, but now they basically do the same thing. So I just always choose close order. And then I just click, I look at my options when I do that. Like if you do closed order, then you have that drop down and you can choose from different things. And then if my order, if I choose cancel, then the ongoing awaiting payment and ongoing receipt status or receipt. Whatever it's called in the POL change to canceled.
So basically that cancel action is doing the same thing. It's setting the order status to closed with a reason for can with the reason for closure of canceled. And then that
Okay.
reason for closure of canceled is what triggers the logic that updates the POLs below it.
Okay, and so would I be able to do that with bulk edit?
It should, I think what I'm I think what Joe's getting at is it will behave the same way because you would be closing with a reason for closure of canceled, and that will theoretically trigger the logic that's already in place for orders and order lines.
Okay.
It's just gonna do it to, 100 orders at the same time, or however many you've chosen.
And but there won't be an option to add a note.
excuse me. No, it's not that.
If I'm like saying, oh, due to budget constraints in 2025, these 100 things are being canceled, and then that would be really nice. But I put that note in every single one so that going back, I can figure out, oh, this was part of this review that we did. And these are the things that we can, I'm making up numbers now, but.
Yeah, so when you close an order, you're prompted to add the notes on closure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
I think
the
that's right.
logic I have written, when you do a close order, because I have to write it in a way that fits. So if I go into bulk edit, start bulk edit, it has to fit this pattern where you have to look at the options, then it figures out a series of actions and data and so forth. That constructs the bulk edit. So, what I have here is if you select close order, then the data field appears as a drop down. And that drop down, so this here, assuming this is, close edit, then the, or yeah, options, close. Set it as, and then you have a drop down that consists of all of the defined reasons for closing purchase order. Then there's a second locked actions field that says add note. So we'll always include the add note field. And then a second data field appears as a text box, and it is required, you have to add a note. Because the note is required. Actually, I don't know if it is required, but in bulk edit, I think it's required. Anyway, the way that I have it written here is it has a note field and you have to put a note in it. So, okay. I think I was misunderstanding that, but I can get rid of the having it required if you want, but the logic that I have written in does have reason or does have a note associated with the reason for closure.
Okay, that works then for me, like because in you cannot later add a note. Like one if you don't add a note when you close it, then you cannot go in and edit that section of the reason for closure and all that. So it's a tricky area, so I just want to make sure that with bulk edit, I'm not like closing the door on being able to add a note. But it sounds like you've thought of it and it can work in bulk edit. That's great. Thank you.
Should I make this not required then?
That's fine by me. It's not required. Like Kimberly says, it's not required when you do it manually. So it doesn't need to be required.
Okay. I do want to keep all the UUIDs available though, just in case, because UUIDs are basically the best, most accurate match points for everything. I know they're not pretty or desirable and they can be really annoying in display, but I do want to keep them available because they are great match points. But from a broader perspective, do I otherwise have the right defaults and are they in the right order? PO name, vendor name, order type. Actually, I probably ought to put vendor code in here as well.
Do you have an acquisitions unit? Yes, you do. Great.
I don't know that I have notes in the order on this pass. Do I? No, I do. Where should notes appear? Does this make sense for notes?
Yeah. And it will be like other things in bulk edit that the if it's a repeatable field, it's I think separated by pipes, I want to say.
I think so. I'm drawing very heavily on letting bulk edit do bulk edit's thing. So whatever bulk edit wants to do, we're going to let it do. I know that's a weird way of saying it. But I met with Magda, and that's basically how we're setting this up is so that bulk edit can do what bulk edit wants to do.
Okay, so I notice you have workflow status in here somewhere, or no, you don't. Or yeah, workflow status. But what about the ongoing order section? It doesn't seem to be represented otherwise. And I don't see total number of units either. So you have a one-time
No,
order type,
this is PO, not POL.
right? The POL, if you have order type
Oh.
ongoing, you have a whole nother accordion.
Right. So I don't have any of the PO summary stuff included.
Right. And but also none of the POL, not POL. If you change the order type to ongoing, you have another accordion at this level.
Right.
None
The
of that.
subscription flag and the renewal
Yeah,
when it's running over
subscription,
the
manual
contract.
renewal. There's notes there too.
Yeah.
Renewal interval, renewal date, review period, all that stuff.
Okay.
And those there's actually fields that could be very interesting for bulk editing. I mean, as far as being able to edit them by bulk.
Yeah, so I've got I've actually got subscription and subscription renewal date bulk editable. So I just need to.
Having that next to order type would be really valuable because it's like ongoing, whether it's a subscription or not a subscription. I know that's not how it appears on the screen, but the two kind of go together. I think that would be a true false setting, set true, set false.
Right.
The 5 minutes head up for the top of the hour.
Okay. Well, do you think we can tackle this list in the next 5 minutes? Because this is the order lines list. And it's quite a bit longer. So we'll have to come back to that, I think.
Well, it looks like we have a good agenda set for finishing out the year and starting the year.
I see a question from Julie about whether a check happens before a batch update occurs. There are checks. There are certain checks. So if I go back to bulk edit, it's already throwing out some warnings. They don't block me from carrying out the bulk edit, but it's telling me I'm going to have some issues and some weirdness. Then the other thing is, if a bulk edit fails, there are logs that, and it's going to tell you what failed and why. Kristen says, will the order and order line information appear together? They will not be in the same bulk edit. So you will not be able to edit orders and order lines in one process. You have to do them separately because bulk edit is record type specific.
But just to that is, whereas the bulk editing part is specific to the record type, there are elements from other records that can appear. So
Oh
those
yeah.
will, okay. So.
Well, we kind of have to have that just because just looking at the PO, we have to reach into the organization record just so you know what vendor you're dealing with.
Right, or that it's a subscription. Or that it's ongoing, so forth. Yeah,
Right.
I'm imagining you're looking for open orders from a vendor that are still waiting to be received, you know?
Yeah.
And so you
Yeah.
need to be pulling things out from the PO line, but maybe you want to update their status or something because you're not going to fill them.
Right. And I imagine we will continue to refine this as time goes on. Actually, let me go ahead and just copy the UX, paste the UX product in here so you can look at them because I'm sure there will be comments. But yeah, aside from the specific order of columns, which I wanted to discuss with you, I'm pretty clear on how this needs to work to fit into bulk edit. Can you edit bulk edit vendor in PO and POL at the same time? Not at the I that's not planned for the first go through, Donglan, unfortunately. This is kind of our first foray into bulk edit, so we're going for I don't want to say a low-hanging fruit, but the what we know we can do with the existing infrastructure and in a way that we know we can achieve. So basic stuff for which we already have patterns like notes and dates and reasons for closure, all that sort of stuff. We're very comfortable with how bulk edit does that. So that's really where we're focusing. And we're focusing on specific use cases that we had discussed about a month or 6 weeks ago. Anyway, I've pretty well used up all my time. So I'm going to stop sharing and hand things back. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. I'll add that you'll be the topic. You'll have the agenda topics for the next meeting too. If anybody else has anything, let me know. See you later. Bye.
Thanks.
Okay,
Bye.
bye.